Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Recently, I've been reading the story of Exodus, of God's miraculous deliverance of his people out of Egypt and their crossing at the Red Sea. If ever there were a people at a crossroad where their backs were up against a no-win scenario that they could foresee, it would be the children of Israel at the crossroads of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 13 and 15 tells us the continuing story how the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt and out of Pharaoh's grasp by God's strong and mighty hand, not only for his people's good, but also by his grace through faith and ultimately all for his glory and praise. Several years ago, Dr. Robert Morgan, a friend of CEF who is a pastor, teacher, and gifted author from Nashville, Tennessee, was invited to be our conference speaker at our annual fundraising event for CEF. On that same weekend, Dr. Robert Morgan was also the guest speaker at my church where he shared a message from a book he wrote on the Exodus story called The Red Sea Rules. Which, by the way, if you haven't read it yet, The Red Sea Rules, it's a powerful little book that has been an encouragement and a blessing to so many people. I've never forgotten the message that Dr. Morgan gave that day. It made such an impact on my heart and on my life. The miracle at the Red Sea crossing was not just for God's people back then to see, but it is a pattern for God's people to see this day now. When the Lord, by his providential design, brings us to the crossroads of a Red Sea, no matter how deep, dark, or difficult the path, we need to see that God is the one who has led us here to this very place. So why does God lead us to cross seemingly impossible Red Seas in our life? Well, it's all part, first of all, of his plan for our good, to pass through this trial all by his grace through faith. But ultimately, and through it all, as we cross over to the other side, it's all for his glory and praise. So the question is, what does God want us to see when he brings his people to a crossroad at the Red Sea? First, we need to see that it is God's plan for our good. The background story of the crossroad at the Red Sea is found in Exodus chapter 13, especially verses 17 and 18, where it says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent, change their mind when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people, God's word says, about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Well, let's step back and stop for a moment and digest and think about what God was saying here. God knew from the jump that the way he would lead the Israelites out of Egypt wasn't the quickest way or even the easiest way, but it was the best way for his people and all part of his plan. Instead of going straight across the top of the Negev, located between Egypt and the Canaan coast, God, by intentional design, led his people a different way on a more difficult path. God had his people turn and go down through the Negev, following the winding road in the wilderness, and brought his people exactly where he wanted them to be, at the Red Sea. Many biblical geographers locate that the place where God had the Israelites in camp was a large beachhead at the Red Sea that could only be accessed through a narrow path engulfed in the wilderness of the Negev, with steep cliffs surrounding them all around and with only one way in and no other road leading out, leaving the Israelites with their backs to the sea. Do you see what God was doing here? God was shutting his people in so they would have no other way to run. But the purpose was not to entrap his people for evil, but to protect his people for their good. God knew that Pharaoh and his chariots would be coming. In fact, that was all part of God's plan. And when the warmongering began to rattle and Pharaoh's chariot wheels began to turn, God didn't want his people to turn and run back to Egypt, choosing to live as slaves again, but instead to turn and trust in him, to trust in the Lord, to deliver his people just as he had said. Now, that all sounds like a good plan, but God knew that his people needed a little bit more. Even before God brought his people to their designed crossroad at the Red Sea, God was affirming his good plan for his people. With every step that they took along the way, God was reminding them of his promise and of his presence. But how did God do that? Well, Exodus chapter 13 tells us. First, we see his promise. Do you remember when the Israelites left Egypt? What were they instructed to carry up with them when they went into the promised land? It was the bones of Joseph. In verse 19, it says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you.'" You see, God wanted his people to see that carrying the bones of Joseph was not just a mere task or a cultural thing, but it was to be a visible sign of God's promise. Just as God had sworn an unconditional covenant to Abraham in Genesis 15 and promised again unto Jacob years later and then reaffirmed by Joseph by his faith-filled dying words to the children of Israel, the bones of Joseph was a testimony of God's good plan for his people and a visible sign that God will keep his promise with every step along the way. Yet not only did God know that his people needed to remember his promise, but also they needed to be reminded of his presence. You know, if I were one of the Israelites, I think I would be tempted to wonder as we wound through the wilderness, well, why are we going this way when we could have went that way? And where is Moses taking us anyway? Is he lost? What is God doing here? You know, that's exactly, though, the point that God wanted his people to know, that God was right here, present with his people. Not only did the Lord give his people a visible sign of his promise through the bones of Joseph, but also God gave his people a visible sign of his presence through moving pillars. It's here, right here in Exodus 13, that we are first told that the Lord went before his people in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God was leading his people day and night to show the way and to give them his visible sign that the Lord himself was present with his people. Now, today we don't have bones to carry or pillars of smoking clouds or fire to follow, but we do have something much better. As his people, we have the promise of the empty tomb and our salvation sealed with the precious blood, the covenant blood of Christ. We have the promise of God's word that we can rest upon that carries us through, even in our darkest night and most trying days. And we have the promise of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit who is with us and who leads us every step along the way. Are you at a Red Sea crossroads today? Are you struggling with a decision of which way to turn, or maybe you're at an impasse with a close family member or friend, or even facing a situation with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Or perhaps you find yourself praying like never before for our country, our beloved nation. In the midst of these difficult days, you may even be wondering, where are we going? And why has the Lord led us here to this place as a nation, to this seemingly insurmountable, impossible Red Sea to pass? Stop wandering around and questioning. Instead, turn and fix your eyes on the Lord. Trust in his good plan and remember his promise and his presence, that he is the one who has led his people here, and he is right here with us at the crossroad of our Red Sea. Not only does the Lord want us to see that our Red Sea crossroad is God's plan for our good, but also that this trial is only passed through by God's grace through faith. You know, grace simply is God providing for his people who cannot provide for themselves. In the very next chapter in Exodus 14, we have a riveting account detailing the Red Sea crossing, which can only be crossed by God's grace through faith. Pharaoh, he was coming, he was pursuing, and it seemed all was lost. And the children of Israel, it looked like they'd be wiped out. God's people quickly began turning, not to the Lord in faith, but turning on their leader, Moses, out of fear. You can almost hear the fear in the people's voices. They cried unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness?" But how could Israel have forgotten so quickly that it was the Lord who was their Redeemer? The same strong hand of the Lord that had redeemed his people out of Egypt is the same strong hand of the Lord that had led his people here to this Red Sea. How were God's people saved from Egypt? By God's provided grace through faith in the promised Lamb. And how would God's people be saved now? By God's provided grace through faith as they journeyed to the promised land. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 reminds us of our grace by faith journey that says, just as we have received Christ through faith, so we walk in him by faith, rooted and built up in him. In other words, how we come to Christ by God's grace through faith is also how we are to grow in our walk with Christ, all by God's grace through faith. But to help us grow in our faith walk along the way, God provides for his people faith-building trials, all by his grace, to remind us that as just as we receive Christ by grace through faith, we are to pass through these trials, our Red Seas in life, all by God's grace through faith. You know, maybe some of you, like the Israelites, are at the edge of your Red Sea and have now come to your faith precipice test. God has a message for you, just like he had a message through his appointed leader to his people back then. Exodus 14, 13 and 14 is one of my favorite verses out of this whole passage when Moses responds to the people's fear, saying, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord himself shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And that's exactly what God did. Egypt came, Egypt pursued, but God had a good plan for his people. All by God's grace through faith, the Israelites trusted in the Lord and crossed over their Red Sea and passed through the walls of water in the midst of the sea. You know, Dr. Robert Morgan, the author of The Red Sea Rules, recently wrote another book called 100 Bible Verses That Made America, which walks through our nation's history, revealing God's guiding and providential hand. And one of the turning points in our nation, he tells the account of a time when our country was on the brink of destruction. In 1814, during the time of the war with England, the British Admiral George Cockburn came sweeping down from Canada and marched into Washington, D.C. with 4,500 troops, setting fire to our nation's capital, the library, and then charged down Pennsylvania Avenue towards the president's mansion. Many prayer arrows were shot up to the Lord in the moment of crisis as people were crying out to the Lord, literally at the same time fleeing for their lives. But just when it looked like all was lost and our nation's seat of government would burn to the ground, a great storm came in with hurricane-force winds sweeping through D.C. for over 2 hours. The catapulting rain drenched all the fires out, lifted up the British cannons, spun them around, and buried over 30 British soldiers who were trapped under the collapsing rubble of the city. Admiral Cockburn ordered a retreat, and the British left just as quickly as they had come. The admiral reportedly called out to a woman overlooking the scene from across the street and shouted out to her as they were fleeing the city, "Great God, madam, is this the kind of storm to which you are accustomed in this infernal country?" The woman replied, "No, sir, this is a special interposition of God's providence to drive our enemies from our city." The annals of history, including the Smithsonian Magazine, would later call it the tornado that saved Washington. But we know better. It was the strong hand of the Lord who had saved his people and saved this nation. And so it is with us today, and also with the Israelites back then at the Red Sea. We must remember that God brings his people to the Red Sea not only to reveal his plan for our good, to pass through this trial all by his grace through faith, but through it all, ultimately, it is all for his glory and his praise. In Exodus 15, we read of another woman, Moses' sister Miriam, who was overlooking the scene from across the other side of the Red Sea. God had not only delivered his people, but also she saw that God had judged their enemies by his providential, strong, and mighty hand. And just like that woman in D.C., Miriam could not help but to give God all the glory and praise. So what did she do? She picked up her timbrel and led the people in praise to the Lord, saying, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." You know, not every Red Sea in life has such a glorious ending, but we know that ultimately all of our Red Seas work together not only for our good by his grace, but ultimately is all for his glory and praise. Are we as a nation, are we as a people, are we at a Red Sea? Look to the Lord and rest your heart in him. Remember, the Lord is our Redeemer, who is more than able to redeem his people by his strong hand. Remember that God has a good plan for his people, and God will enable his people by his grace through faith to cross over and go through the very midst of the sea. But through it all and in it all, God wants us as his people to give him all the glory and praise every step along the way as we cross over our Red Seas by looking by faith unto the Lamb and walking with the Lamb who has promised to lead us all the way home to his promised land. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again. But also, we pray God's blessing upon you as we remember together this week that the Lord is our Redeemer.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.